My name's Tracy Carpenter, and I'm a member with Restored Church. If you're new, welcome. We are glad that you tuned in. We believe that the church is a family and not just an event, and so we would love to connect with you. There are a few ways that you can do that. The first being through our website, which is www.restoredtemecula.church, and then click on contact. We also have a mobile app that you can get in the Apple or the Android app stores. And through that app, you can see past messages, upcoming events, and other ways for us to connect. So with all that said, we hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Couple quick things before I get started. How about Scott Deal with those old school bangers this morning, man? Let's go. I was like lit up. I'm like, oh, this is like, when I came to know Jesus, I was like a late teenager, and those were the songs that were like fairly popular, and I just felt like, oh, yes. Fresh wind and fire this morning, bro. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Another quick thing. This week, Ebony and I took the staff away for a few days. Just an annual time of retreat and rest and refreshment. And it was really beautiful. It was really good. I think God met with us in some personalized ways. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because vocational ministry is a privilege, but it can be really hard. And I just want to say publicly that our church, like, you guys are so blessed with the staff that God has provided. Ebony and Mark and Herrick and Tracy and Dorian and Courtney, like, Mike on eldership. Like, I just want you to know, like, I know you know this, but would you maybe consider just a word of encouragement to them this week? Whether it's reach out with a text or pull them aside today and just let them know what they mean to you. It could be really simple, like, I just really appreciate your effort. I really appreciate your service. I really appreciate you. The ways that God's gifted them to serve us is, man, I mean, God's been so kind to us, guys. It's wild. That was my big takeaway from this week, is like, holy smokes. God's been really good to our church. He's been really, really good to us. So yeah, I'd love it if you would encourage our staff this week sometime. Okay, grab your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. We are going to start in verse 24. You can put your finger there. If you're newer with us, my name is Tom. I have the privilege of providing leadership as the lead pastor on eldership with my wife, Ebony, and the Harrelsons, Mike and Marla, the Burgas, Herrick and Heather. I'd love to meet you if we haven't met yet. But we are in a series called The King and His Kingdom. We're going through Matthew. And we're going through Matthew really with the intention of wanting to learn as much as we can about the King and His Kingdom. When I say the King, who am I talking about? Jesus, the King of the universe, the creator of all things, right? We believe in a triune God who expressed himself through his son, Jesus, on the earth. And he lived the perfect life that we never could and died the death that we deserve in our place. And man, oh man, he's demonstrated his love for us in profound ways. We want to learn as much as we can about this saving King. And not only that, we want to learn as much as we can about the kingdom of God, his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, those phrases, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And then when we say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, we're referring to Jesus' rule, Jesus' reign. What does it look like when God gets his way? If you're anything like me, I give a lot of energy in my life, at least I have in different seasons, where I want my way. I want to see life look the way I want it to. That sometimes can be fine, and sometimes that can be damaging, depending on your person. But we're talking about what does it look like when God gets his way. And we're in this section in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus he's sharing several parables. And maybe you're familiar with the parables of Jesus. They're profound, they're incredible, they're amazing. But these parables, what they are is they're stories. Jesus, he would speak and teach using stories and narratives, and these stories and these narratives, they would be illustrations that Jesus would use to teach, but he'd also use them to confront. Jesus has a way about him that he loves people enough to tell them the truth about themselves. And then he has the power and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness to help lead them as a king out of that brokenness into fullness, eternal life, that he calls it, the abundant life. And one of the things that I mentioned last week was about the parables of Jesus, is the parables of Jesus, I want you to think of them as like both a mirror and a window, right? What does a mirror do? It shows you your reflection. And there's something about looking at yourself in the mirror, it's hard to hide, right? You're confronted with the reality of you, for better or for worse. There's glorious, incredible things about each one of us, and there's some things that are still in process. Can I get an amen? And the mirror has a way of doing that. And these parables that Jesus uses to teach, they're like a mirror where we're confronted with the reality of ourselves. But it's not just a mirror, it's also a window. A window into what the kingdom of heaven is like and what it can mean for us and what God is inviting us into as we yield to his leadership, his kingship, his rule and reign in our lives. Okay? These parables are such a gift. Now, today we're going to cover two of them, okay, because these two are, they're connected. So I'm gonna read them, but before I do, I wanna pray. I wanna ask for God to help us, to help me, and to teach us and to show us more about the King and his kingdom. So I'd love it if you'd pray with me right now. Holy Spirit, we just open our minds and our hearts and all of who we are right now to your leadership. Waiting just a moment. Slowing down just a bit. We want you, God. We want you to lead us. We ask you to teach us. And I can just see you want to minister to some hearts this morning. There's people you want to touch in this room. And so I pray that you would help me to serve and to love. I don't want to do anything that gets in the way of what you want, your kingdom, to come in our lives. And so that's what we're asking for. Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. There's nobody like you. I love you. Show us your glory, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, so just to kind of bring you up to speed, the setting here with what we're going to jump into here in verse 31. In Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, his public ministry was about 3 years long, right? And so where we pick up here, he's right in the thick of this time of his life, all right? So he's in the thick of his public ministry. He is teaching and he's preaching and he's healing folks and he's doing all these amazing signs and wonders. And people are starting to go like, what is up with this guy, Jesus? Could this be the promised one? Could this be the savior, the rescuer, right? And so he's in the thick of it. And where we are here is Jesus is on a boat. And the reason he's on a boat is because these crowds have been gathering to hear his teachings. And it can get kind of overwhelming. So what he does is he gets on this boat. He kind of comes away from shore a little bit. And then all of the crowds gather on the shore. So I want you to picture this. I want you to picture Jesus in the boat. That's his pulpit, if you will. And all these crowds of many people are gathered on the shore listening to Jesus share these incredible words, okay? And he begins teaching them in parables. And we've already covered some in this in the last couple of weeks. But I want to jump in here on verse 31. He's on the boat. He's teaching these parables, and here we go, verse 31. He, Jesus, presented another parable to them. This is what he said. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants. Really quickly, when he says garden plants, he's talking about like vegetables, okay? So it's taller than the garden plants. It's taller than the vegetables. And it becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. Verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. That's like yeast, okay? So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened. 50 pounds of flour, that's a lot. Verse 34, Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables, and he did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. So Jesus is fulfilling prophecy from decades, millennia back, hundreds of years back. Yeah, so that it was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, and then he's going to quote the psalmist Asaph. He says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Okay, so that's where we're going to camp out today. It's really hard to preach on the parables because there's so much beauty and depth that we could do. There's 20 points here. I only have a few for you this morning, okay? But I want to cover a couple things because this parable, it teaches us several things about the kingdom of heaven. Now, really quickly, I just want to mention this. You are made for the kingdom of heaven. Like, that homesick feeling that you have, or even on your best day, you still sort of feel like things aren't the way they're supposed to be, that thing inside, it's because you were made for the kingdom of heaven. And because of Jesus, he's initiated his kingdom here and now, but it's not fully realized here. It will be fully realized when we go to be with him at his second coming, right? When he comes to earth and we get to all of sin and evil and death is dealt with once and for all. But I just want to say, as we read this, I don't want you to think of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as this thing out there. It's this ethereal thing you go to after you die. It's so much more than that. It's available to you right now in your life. And you were made for it. In the same way that a fish is made for water. And what happens to a fish if it's outside of the water for too long? It dies. The same is true for you in the kingdom. You were made for the kingdom. You thrive in the lordship of God, okay? So, if you're taking notes, I'm gonna share a few things here, several things about the kingdom of, that this teaches about the kingdom of heaven. The first thing, just like a seed in the ground, just like the yeast in the dough, here's your first point, the kingdom of heaven begins on the inside. The kingdom of heaven begins on the inside, okay? In verse 31, it says that there's the mustard seed, right? But it says that the mustard seed is done. What do they do with the mustard seed? What's the farmer do? Talk to me. Plants it in a field. So you could just have a mustard seed chilling on your hand, on the shelf, whatever, on the ground. No, no, no. He puts it in the field, in the soil. Verse 33, the yeast is mixed into the dough. The kingdom of heaven begins on the inside. Okay? Now, if you've ever read Matthew, Jesus has this way of dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes, right? The kind of religious leaders, influencers of his day. And so many times he like confronts them and rebukes them and he calls them hypocrites. Just the sound of that, is it just me? Does that just sound pretty intense, kind of confrontational? Hypocrite. It's like, whoa, like, I don't know what it is. There's something phonetically about the way that sounds. But he would say things to these religious influencers. He would say things like, you're a hypocrite. And he would say, you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. He would say things to them like, you're a whitewashed tomb. You're fancy on the outside. You're this ornate, kind of cleaned up tomb, but in the inside, you're rotting. You're full of death. That sounds intense, it is. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because, man, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a biblical scholar to read the New Testament and see Jesus is really serious about getting to the heart. He's not playing around with this. Because what was happening with these hypocrites, and keep in mind, they're religious leaders, they're influencing people, right? But God's rule and reign wasn't happening in their heart. Listen to me. That's serious. It wasn't happening. It wasn't going on at a heart level. So he's hypocrites. Again, God will tell you the truth about yourself, not to condemn you, not to slam you, not to dunk on you. He'll tell you the truth because he wants to sober you up and wake you up to the reality of what's going on inside of you. It really matters. Your inner man, your inner woman really matters, friend. So hypocrites, it's interesting because in the Greek, that word that they use to translate into hypocrite, it means actor. It means actor or one who wears a mask. Whew. Have you ever encountered a hypocrite? Yes. I have. Sometimes when I look in the mirror. It's one of these things that we always, I can't speak for everybody, but I feel like most people view as like an out there thing, you know? But it's like, oh man. Dude, the other day, so I told you, we took the staff away for a few days. We went to Big Bear. We're driving up the mountain. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. My brother Mark's driving one of the cars. And we are stuck behind this 18-wheeler going up a mountain road. And he didn't use a turnout. Thank you. Thank you. I need your empathy. No, the reason I'm sharing this story is because after like probably 5 or 10 minutes of this, I mean, he's going 15 miles an hour, okay? I start to judge this guy so hard in my heart, guys. Like, I feel a little embarrassed. It sounds silly because, oh, yeah, whatever, I'm just, you know. But like inside, I'm going, this bozo, this idiot, he won't even use he's inconveniencing all these people. He's the only one that matters on the road. He's doing his own thing, whatever. And then like, I'm even complaining about this in the car with some of the guys. And then I feel like the Spirit goes like, what about you? You ever inconvenienced anybody else? Has your pace ever affected anybody else's life, whether it be on the road or somewhere else? And I was just like, ah. And it was Jesus and his Spirit being like, hypocrite. Again, not to condemn me, but just to reveal, this is the reality of what's going on in me, man. I need the grace of God. I need Jesus to change me. You ever encountered a hypocrite? Now, here's what I see in the scriptures. Typically, hypocrisy shows up in two ways. And let me give them to you really quickly. It shows up typically in focusing on the faults of others without addressing your own. Me behind the truck driver. But it also shows up in pretending to be righteous while living with hidden sin. I'm just going to let that one sit for a second. If you have secret sin in your life, I want to tell you two things. One, it's really serious. It's poison. It'll kill you. It'll harm you. But two, there's absolutely nothing that Jesus isn't willing and able to forgive. His blood literally paid for it all, okay? And you're in a room full of people who desperately need his forgiveness and grace, and that are just going, Jesus, in faith, I trust you. I want to follow you. I trust in your forgiveness. I trust in your blood. Your perfect life in my place and your death in my place. So focusing on the faults of others without addressing your own and pretending to be righteous while living with hidden sin. Now, in either case, the hypocrites, they focus on the external, right? On how they appear to others while the internal's rotting. But Jesus says the kingdom of heaven begins on the inside. That's where it starts, in the heart. See, the kingdom of heaven, it seeks to address the why before it addresses the what. It seeks to address the heart before it addresses the hands. Because if you start with the heart, you'll eventually get the hands. If you start with the hands, dude, your willpower is only going to get you so far. It's not about behavior modification primarily. It's about heart transformation. That's what God's up to. The kingdom of heaven, it seeks to address the why before it addresses the what. I want to share an example with you that most of you have heard me share many times, but I'm going to do it again because I think it's really helpful, okay? This idea of the kingdom of heaven, God, he seeks to address the why before he addresses the what. Imagine after this gathering, we go out to lunch together, and it's you and me, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to pick up your lunch. I'm going to buy you lunch. And you might be like, wow, that's very generous, that's very kind, that's wonderful. And it could be. It could be. But what if my motive is just to get you to like me more? What if my motive is I really want your approval? You wouldn't be able to know that unless I shared that. But if that was what was going on in me, something on the outside as nice seemingly and as generous seemingly as buying you lunch is actually an incredibly selfish act. I'm actually, in that moment, I would be using you for approval. Like, it looks good on the outside, but not on the inside. Now listen, when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's God getting his way. It's his rule and reign actually being realized. You don't need me to tell you this, but God getting his way does not result in me or you using other people in any way, right? The kingdom of heaven begins on the inside. It seeks to address the why before it addresses the what. So listen, in love this morning, let's take a pulse. Are you more focused on the external or on the internal? Are you more concerned with how you appear to others or the true condition of your heart? Maybe you're not sure. I feel like I'm not sure a lot. Honestly. And here's one of the things that's helpful to me. Here's how you can tell if you're more focused on the external versus the internal. You're more concerned with how you appear to others than you are the true condition of your heart. Here's how you tell. Are you the same person when people are watching or not? Like, are you the same person when there's no eyes on you? Do you speak to your family the same way when you have people over as when there's nobody else, just you? Does the media that you consume, the things that you look at, the stuff that you take in through the lamp of your body, your eyes, is it the same when no one's around as it is when they're around? Or does it change a little bit when you're by yourself? The hypocrites, they focused on the outside. But the kingdom of heaven, friends, listen to me. The kingdom of heaven begins on the inside. It's the starting point. All right, the next thing for you, if you're taking notes, that this teaches us about the kingdom, is that the kingdom starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. The kingdom starts small, but it doesn't stay that way, right? The mustard seed, it's the smallest of all seeds. It starts small, but it becomes this big tree, right? The little tiny bit of yeast, it leavens the entire batch of dough. That's wild. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. I think one of my absolute favorite things about pastoring is having this like front row seat on people's journey, like their discipleship journey, right? It starts with like the veil is lifted. They see reality and they're like, oh my goodness, Jesus is real. He's not a myth. And holy smokes, he died for me. Like, oh my, this is awesome. And they're like, I want to follow Jesus. They have this, their hearts awaken to the reality of the gospel, right? Like, it's the best thing ever when those light bulbs go off and you see this devotion start to take place and they want to follow Jesus, right? Like, it's this like, oh my goodness, this is for me. The gospel's personalized. Jesus, the cross wasn't just this arbitrary thing. It was for me. And they're like, Jesus, I want Jesus to be the king of my life. It's awesome, right? The kingdom of heaven starts small. And then they're like, I want Jesus to be the king of my life. I want to be baptized. We're doing baptisms in Easter, right? It's like so awesome. Like I want to let the world know. I want to do this public display that I am a new person because of what Jesus has done in my heart and my life. And then it's like, and because of this, like, I want to learn more. I want to learn the Bible. I want to know God's word. I want to know more about him and who he is and what he's like and what he's done and the things that matter to him. And it's like this beautiful relationship is being born and it's being developed and it's being like, it's beautiful. And it's like, and then I watch them and they're like, and just all this stuff happens. Like without, I want to serve people. I want to serve and bless other people, not just live a life focused on me. You know, it's like, it's so awesome to watch this little mustard seed, if you will. Like it's like the kingdom's come, right? In this person's life. And it's awesome. The kingdom of heaven, it starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. It gets bigger. It gets more intense in a person's life. It gets more radical. I mean, next thing you know, and you have people who are like ordinary folks and they want to practice like sacrificial generosity, not just with money, but money's part of it. Like when I say that, I mean like not just like, oh, I want to support something. No. Jesus has, like, they get to this spot where they're like, Jesus has sacrificed so much for me. Oh my, what a privilege and a pleasure it would be to sacrifice for him in a way that blesses other people. It's so beautiful to see. But that's like not normal. Like you, like in our culture, people are all about like, you know, like generosity, right? Like philanthropy and what's the word I'm thinking of? Like benevolence, but like charity. People are all about that, like, which is awesome. It's good, but not to the point where it like affects how I live. You know what I mean? Like, no, but like Jesus upended his entire, like, think about this, guys. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, he put on flesh. He left the comforts of heaven, where he's being worshiped night and day for eternity by angels. He's being praised constantly for how awesome he is. Is there a person in the room who doesn't like it when people praise you? If people around you are like, hey, I think you're awesome. I love this about you. I think you're wonderful. Does anybody in the room hate that? Like, I think it's amazing. It feels incredible when people that, like, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I'm appreciated. So God leaves that, but he doesn't just leave that. He comes to earth. I want you to imagine if you walked in this room and everybody in the room didn't want you here. That would feel awful. They're like, how about this? They tolerate you at best. So God leaves the perfection of heaven where he's being praised constantly. He comes to an entire planet with nobody wants him there. They want things from him, right? Do the signs, do the wonders, bless my bank account, make me never have to deal with any sickness, whatever, right? Like, make my life really comfortable. And he's like, but what about me? Like, I want you to think about this. He sacrificed so much. The kingdom of heaven starts small in a person's life, but it doesn't stay that way. Next thing you know, they want to sacrifice. They want to be like sacrificially generous. They want to, this one gets wild. They want to start confessing their sins. Like they want to start walking in the light. And this might be the most radical one. They want to start forgiving other people. And not for the trivial things, for the devastatingly painful things that have been done to them. Guys, I have so many stories with this. I want to share one with you that's not from this community. But it's this beautiful picture of the kingdom of heaven starting small, but not staying that way. There was a couple in the church, not our church. There was a couple in the church, and God saved them. They came to know Jesus. The veil was lifted. They saw him clearly. They wanted to follow him. They wanted him to be the king of their life. It was beautiful. They get saved. We want to follow Jesus. They start engaging in church life, right? Developing relationally. It's awesome, right? These different discipleship strategies. It's cool. It's really, really beautiful. The kingdom of heaven starts small, right? But it doesn't stay that way. I'll just say spouse number one. Spouse number one realizes this. And spouse number one realizes, like, not only do I want to, I need to confess sin. I need to walk in the light. And the sin that spouse number one is debating on whether or not they're going to confess is a big one, okay? It's adultery. They've been married for several years, but the first year of their marriage, spouse number one commits adultery, secret hidden sin. And spouse number one, here's the thing, because the kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way, spouse number one knows they're going to be opting out of God's kingdom in their life right now if they didn't confess. And here's the thing, they weren't caught. Side note, different sermon, but getting caught is different than confessing. So spouse one, kingdom of heaven starts small but doesn't stay that way. Spouse one confesses this sin, and as you can imagine, it is really hard. It's incredibly painful. Now on the flip side, you have spouse two. You married couples in the room, you put yourself in spouse two's shoes, and it's just like, I didn't want to think about it. Spouse two has biblical grounds for divorce. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. Spouse two basically goes, Jesus has forgiven me so much. I'm committed to forgiving my spouse. Guys, not only did forgiveness take place, they're still married, they're thriving, their marriage is stronger than ever. God's done an incredible work. His kingdom has come in their lives. And there's something about the kingdom, restoration, renewal, redemption. If you're sitting in the room here and maybe you're judging spouse number one or spouse number two, be careful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even the guy up here with the face mic with goofy gray hair. I watched these people. I watched them go from receiving Jesus, like, to engaging in church discipleship strategies, to confessing secret sin and extending radical forgiveness. Please hear me, okay? The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. Do you know why? The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. Do you know why? Listen to me. Because God desires all of you. When I say all of you, I'm actually not talking plural, although that applies. I'm talking singular. He wants all of you. Every single square inch of you, guys. Verse 33, right? The yeast, it spreads through the entire batch. The whole thing. He wants all of you. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way because the saving king desires all of you. Now, Can I just talk, if you're a Christian in the room, if you're not a Christian, I just want to talk to the Christians in the room for just a second. If you're here and just checking things out, you have, you know, investigating, whatever, so glad you're here. Tune in, or you can just get peek behind the curtain here for a second, just for the Christians. Is the kingdom of heaven staying small in you? Is the kingdom of heaven staying small in you? Are there areas in your life that are off limits to God's rule and his reign? Here's how you know. You disobey the same time or the same way over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Off limits. His rule and reign is off limits here. If so, so you're living as a hypocrite. But the saving King desires all of you. Even the hypocrites like me. He desires all of you. He wants to rescue every square inch of your heart, friend. He wants to rescue every square inch of your mind. He wants to rescue every square inch of your body. He wants to rule and reign over all of you, over every fear, over every insecurity, over every talent, over every gifting. He wants to rule and reign over every thought you have, over every emotion that you have. He wants to rule and reign over your entire life. That's his desire. Do you have any idea how much God desires you? Do you have any idea? I feel like this is really easy for us to feel for other people. I can feel it for my daughter and my wife and my other daughter. I can feel it for them, right? Like, God desires you. But I don't know about me. Do you have any idea, friend, how much God desires you? We talked about it a little bit already. He leaves heaven, he puts on flesh, and he lives this like unbelievably wild life. He's in obscurity for like 30 years, right? Being trained, being formed, like getting, being prepared for his calling. That'll preach. Some of you are waiting for your time. Like, give it some time, you know? But then he lives this life filled with suffering. And he signed up for it. Like deep betrayal by the people closest to him. Obviously there's the physical suffering, right? But like the good news of the gospel is that God, he became a person so that he could absorb anything and everything that we deserve for our shortcomings and our failures. He lived the life that you never could, perfectly. And he died the death that you and I deserve for all the ways that we are hypocrites, for all the ways that we resist and reject God's rule and reign in our lives. Like, do you have any idea how much he desires you, the lengths that he has gone to? Everything inside of me wants to like yell this right now and preach this, but I feel like I'm not supposed to. I feel like I'm supposed to let the Spirit of God connect these real dots in your heart. The cross was for you. It really was. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. Listen, this is the core of Christianity, guys. Like, think about it. What started as a small group of disciples in an upper room has become millions and millions and millions of people throughout the generations. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. There's so many implications with this. This is why I say it's so hard to preach this, because I got like five more sermons for you. Like, do you realize what this means? That it starts small, but it doesn't end that way. It means the kingdom of heaven is always bringing transformation. Listen to me. Always bringing transformation. Even if you don't see it, even if the Spirit of God is moving at a pace that you don't agree with, he's still bringing about transformation. Why? It's how the kingdom operates. Some of you, Satan's deceiving you right now in this season of your life. Like you're full on believing a lie. And the lie is this: you're believing that things are never gonna change. Things are never gonna change. Your loved one that you've been praying for, we're stuck. It's never gonna get better. Your children, they're never gonna change. Your family member's never gonna change. You are never gonna change. Lie. How do I know? Because embracing God's rule and reign in your life always brings transformation. Always. The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. Do you realize what God's inviting you into? He's inviting you to let him lead you, which always brings transformation. That's another fancy word for change. I love him for it. I think it's incredible. Now, there's one more thing that I want to touch on before I'm done. I'm going to take a drink of my massive jug of water. Some of you know why this is here. Others of you are like, that guy's weird. Okay, one more thing I want to touch on. If you're taking notes, it's my final point. And it's this: the kingdom of heaven produces strength. The kingdom of heaven produces strength. Verse 32, right? As that mustard seed grows into a tree, it gets stronger to the point where its branches are strong enough to hold the birds. What does that mean? What's Jesus talking about with this birds and the branches thing? The kingdom of heaven produces strength. Now, many scholars believe that what's happening here is that Jesus is alluding to a prophetic word from Ezekiel chapter 17 about the Gentiles, right? The non-Jews coming into the kingdom, right? They're the birds that come onto the tree, right? Now, I agree with that. I actually think that's what's happening here, but I don't think that's all that's happening here. I believe there's more for us here. Several years ago, this is probably like 6 years ago now or something. I took Ebony, my wife, on her first backpacking trip. When I say backpacking, I mean like camping, and you don't take your car, you have everything you need on your back, on your pack, right? Some of the guys in the church, we've gone on a backpacking trip. But I took Ebony on a backpacking trip 5 or 6 years ago-ish, right? And it was great. It was really, really cool. I'm not an expert or anything, but I enjoy the outdoors, and I wanted to share that with her. I thought that she would enjoy it. I know she loves nature too, but I was like, let's do this. So we apply for the permit. We know we're prepping all these different things and getting situated, getting our gear set up, all the things. But I really wanted her to have a good experience. And so I tried to kind of curate the trip and those kinds of things. And one of the things that I did was I packed our packs. And I tried to do as much of the heavy stuff in my pack, okay? And the reason I did that, because my thought was the lighter the load, the more enjoyable it would be for her. And I wanted her to have a good time. I wanted to, you know, share, right? So I put all the heavy stuff in my pack, okay? And some of you might be like, oh, that's so sweet, Tom. Wait. Okay? So we load up, we're ready to go, man. We are like setting out on the trail. It's gonna be 3 days. It's gonna be great, just me and my lady in the mountains. We get about an hour into this hike. My legs are doing great. My back feels strong. But my hips, like if you're familiar with like big backpacks, like they have those hip straps, right? And the reason they have the hip straps is because it's helpful to put the load on your hips so it's not just pulling on your shoulders. So the bulk of the weight actually rests on your hips. That's what that's for. So we're an hour into this hike. I'm feeling great. But my hips are on fire. Like to the point where I'm like, oh no, this is not good. I want her to have a good time. And the things that are going through my mind are like, am I gonna have to like shift weight over to my wife's pack on this trip? I underestimated the weight. And not only that, I overestimated my strength. Guys, we're an hour in. we got a long way to go. I underestimated the weight, and I overestimated my strength. I see this happen in people's lives all the time. Like, hear me, gifted people. Way more gifted than me. Capable people, highly, like high capacity folks, more capable than me. But they lack the necessary strength for the weight they're carrying. Why? Because they've put a limit on God's kingdom in their life. In other words, there are areas in their life they're not yielding to God's leadership. They're not yielding to God's lordship. They aren't obeying him in specific areas. And as a result, hear me, their branches aren't strong enough for the birds. What about you? Are your branches strong enough for the birds in your life? Husbands in the room, I want to talk to you for just a second. Your wife doesn't need you to make more money. She needs God's kingdom to be strong in you. That's what she needs. More than anything. She needs God's rule and reign to like permeate your whole life, not just parts of it. Fathers in the room, what your children need most is they need God's kingdom to be strong in you. Men in the room, can I talk to you for just a second? Your friends, your community, your coworkers, everybody in your life that like relies on you, what they need most is they need God's kingdom to be strong in you. You might be really gifted. There's incredibly gifted men in this church. You might be really capable. There's high capacity men in this church. But what the people who rely on you need most, please hear me, is they need God's kingdom to be strong in you. Fellas, God's blessed you with people in your life who rely on you. Now hear me. That can feel so overwhelming at times. Ladies, I'm not trying to dismiss you, but there's a unique thing for us as men. It's hard sometimes. You get an hour into the hike and your hips are on fire and you don't know if you have what it takes to carry the weight that you're carrying, the people that rely on you. The responsibility, it can feel so heavy and overwhelming. But I want you to hear me as a fellow comrade, as a brother. I'm not better than anybody in this room. I need you to hear me. Men, you were made for it. You were made for it. And not just that, you have what it takes. I'm not going all self-help right now. I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I need you to hear me. You have what it takes. The reason I know that you have what it takes, if you didn't, God wouldn't have given them to you. You have what it takes. You were made for it. The kingdom of heaven produces strength. Young guys in the room, young men, please hear me for just a second. Don't let anybody tell you it's too early for you to start developing kingdom strength. Because check this out. The earlier you start, the stronger you get. You ever seen a guy who's just ripped at like 70 because he's been doing push-ups since he was like 8 every day? I have so much catching up to do. Like, I'm not trying to be silly here, but young guys, listen. It's never too early to start developing kingdom strength. And here's the beautiful part. That way, when you do that, when you start early, your branches are going to be ready when the birds come. and think of the blessing. Think of the ways that people in your life will experience the pleasure, the security, the power of the kingdom of God through you. I don't care if you're 12, I don't care if you're 20, I don't care if you're 50. You're made for it, gentlemen. Okay, I have a lot more. I'm not gonna share a lot more. I'm gonna call the band up, I'll close. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus, he taught us to pray this. He taught us to pray, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the gig, man. That's the pursuit. That's what we're giving ourselves to. The kingdom of God. We want the kingdom to increase. We want his rule and reign to increase. The kingdom of heaven, it begins on the inside. It starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. It always brings transformation, and it produces strength. So, maybe you're here, and if you're honest, you've been really focused on the external. And maybe this morning God's going, hey, that's fine. Let me in your heart. Let me deal with the stuff underneath. Maybe you're here, and if you're totally honest, you actually haven't received God's kingdom. You've heard about it. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you've heard people talk about Jesus and his lordship. Maybe you've even tasted a little bit of like, oh, there's benefits to Christianity. But maybe you're here and you haven't actually yet fully gone, I want Jesus to be my saving king. Like, I actually want to fully yield to this. I want to sign up. I know it sounds weird and it's like but hear me. Like, if that's you, dude, you're in a good spot right now. Because the invitation stands. Jesus' invitation, come follow me. Come yield to me. He doesn't want to harm you. He's not holding out on you. He wants you to experience the glory of the kingdom of heaven, where the transformation takes place. And the pleasure of oneness with God. I mean, there's nothing that compares to that. If you're here and you haven't yet received Jesus as the saving king of your life, you can do that literally right now. You and him, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you. Be the Lord of my life. I'm done calling the shots. Sometimes I call good plays, other times I don't. You know who's an expert play caller? The guy who wrote the playbook. It's crazy. I'm telling you, friend, if that's you, give Jesus your life. See what he does with it. Maybe you're here and you actually, you know, you have given your life to Jesus. I think most of this room, you're here because you've given your life to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to hear something. I want you to know that you and your household are God's mustard seed in this valley. You are God's mustard seed in this valley. To see more of his kingdom come about in you and through you in ways where the birds can utilize your strength and rest in your branches. You're God's yeast in the dough of your relationships. He's got so much purpose for you every moment of every day. Dude, some of you mamas, you are giving every ounce of your energy to your kiddos, and it's exhausting. I need you to know, you're God's yeast in your household. And there's so much purpose in every moment, the minuscule ones where it's like, please pick up after yourself. Whatever it is, so much purpose. Conduits for the kingdom. Can you think of a higher calling than that? I can't. It's beautiful. Did you know that? Did you know that you're God's mustard seed in this place? Did you know that you're God's yeast in this place? You're his first round draft pick. If you're honest right now, are you living that way? Are you living that way? Are you thinking that way? Are you praying that way? if you're not, you can. Because God's gracious and he's kind and he never gives up on us. He consistently invites us. This morning I woke up early and I spent some time just like thinking and pondering some of these things and like just imagining the what ifs, you know? It's one of my favorite things to do is to read the Bible and go like, what if we actually did this? What could happen? What could happen, parents? What could happen in the lives of your children? What could happen in your neighborhood? What could happen in your workplace? Like our small little church in the Temecula Valley, imagine. What if we live as God's mustard seed? What if we lived as God's yeast in this place? The kingdom of heaven starts small, but it doesn't stay that way. That's what I'm holding on to pastorally. It doesn't stay this way. It gets bigger. It increases. It gets stronger. Will you stand with me if you're able? That's what I want to pray over us. The kingdom of heaven would increase in each one of us. I think a huge part of us living in God's kingdom is coming to grips with who he's made us to be. Not who we try to be, not who necessarily we even want to be, but who we were created to be. And so, Father, that's my prayer, that each one of us would have fresh revelation of who you've made us to be in Jesus. I pray that as we fix our eyes on him, that we would become like that with which we behold. That's a promise in the scripture. So I pray that we would fix our attention onto you, Jesus. Your goodness, your power, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace. And that wouldn't just rub off on us. It would literally permeate our beings. I feel like, I even get this sense, men, I just feel like I'm supposed to talk to you this morning, like, some of you guys, there's this peace around, I think God wants to give you a fresh revelation of his goodness to you. And that as a result of that, gratitude would begin to pour out of you. Like it would transcend your thoughts and it would actually become behavior. Like cheers and praise. And like some of you men, like it's either been a long time or actually some of you men, you've never actually like sung praises unto God. And part of what you're believing is you're actually believing a lie about yourself. You're like, well, that's not who I am. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not that type of dude. And I'm here to tell you, you just don't know who you are yet. But Jesus wants to show you who you are. He made you, friend. Step up, step into it. No shame, no condemnation. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And check this out. You have so much to be grateful to Jesus for. Not just the air in your lungs, but the ways that he's shaped you, the opportunities that he's presented to you, the incredible works that you've witnessed. You're the world's leading expert on what you've witnessed him do in your life. And he ain't done, bro. He's just getting started. So my prayer right now, Holy Spirit, is that every man, every woman, every young person, that we in faith would open ourselves up to more of your kingdom coming in our lives. That means your way. Would you give us ears to hear your voice guiding us directions, the things that you want us to stop doing, the things that you want us to start doing, the things that you want us to stop believing about ourselves and others, and the things that you want us to start believing about ourselves and others. Let us be people who attach truth to your word. And let us experience the life-giving, abundant life that Jesus promises for us in his kingdom, not just after we die, but now. We love you, Jesus. Teach us. Show us the way. Give us faith. I just want to pray humility over the room. Let the Lord humble us so he can exalt us. What that means is you being who he's made you to be in all of its glory, all of your glory, all of your God-ordained, anointed glory. I don't want anybody in this room to settle. I don't want to settle, Lord. We pray for more of your kingdom to come. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Okay. If you're in the prayer team this morning, would you make your way to the front, make yourself available to folks? If you want prayer for any reason this morning, you come up at any time. There's trusted men and women up here that would love to pray over you, would love to minister, would love to intercede on your behalf. That means stepping in the gap between you and the Lord to help you experience and encounter more of what God has personally for you. They would love to pray for you. Come up anytime. Let's fill this room with praise. Coming from a place of gratitude, thank you, Jesus, for your body. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for all the ways that you've cared for me, all of that. Feel free, give yourself over to gratitude and let that gratitude give birth to praise audibly in this place. All right, I love you guys very much. Enjoy him, and then JB will pastor us and close us at the end, okay? Love you very much.